My pleasure this afternoon to be here to introduce to you, I guess for the first time in mass, the Citywide Equity Committee. It has been up and functioning for a while now, and it is my belief that it is very important that you as a committee, the council, as the leaders of the city, see the work that this committee is doing. I must acknowledge and thank the Bureau directors for allowing the time for these committee members to do this work, and City Council for also acknowledging and allowing this work needs to be done and allowing the time for it to happen. Honestly, I would just like, without further ado, to ask all of the members of the Citywide Equity Committee to please stand and be acknowledged. As you can see, there are quite a few. Each bureau has a primary member and a alternate. And these are the members of this committee doing this hard and important work. Great. So I would just like to acknowledge them. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
There was a precursor to the CEC called the Citywide Diversity Committee. And in the interim, as we moved to the Citywide Equity Committee to prepare, the strategic plan, there was an interim committee, and I would like to acknowledge their good work in laying the groundwork so that the Citywide Equity Committee could really hit the ground running as it was instituted. So I'd like to acknowledge and thank Ms. Emily Rice from BTS, Delphine Kennedy Walker from the City Attorney's Office, Mr. Stephen Buffard from Revenue, Desiree Williams-Raji from Planning and Sustainability, as members of that interim committee. So thank you very much. And the members here who are the steering committee for the Citywide Equity Committee, some were also on that interim committee, but have currently been elected by their peers to be the leaders of the Equity Committee, the steering committee. So who you have before you is Ms. Afifa Ahmed Shafi from ONI, Ms. Carolina Irajeta Gonzalez from Transportation, Kyle Diesner from Planning and Sustainability, Alejandro Virales from Parks and Recreation, and Ms. Patricia Weekly, who's unavailable today, from PDC. So that is who you have before you as the leadership, if you will, of the Citywide Equity Committee. So I want to thank them very much for their hard work. And I want to be sure to acknowledge the difficulty of this work, the difficulty of having this conversation, because this conversation is about race as it relates to the CEC, and that's a difficult conversation to have. And so I just want to acknowledge these courageous city employees for stepping up and often feeling the pushback in doing this work, and often feeling sometimes unsupported in doing this work. And just recognize the difficulty, but the importance of them stepping into this role and the work they're doing. Before I hand this over for them to speak and present the plan to you, you've heard me speak enough about this. What I want to do is let you hear from your predecessors. And what I have here is the Portland Future Focus, which is the 1991 strategic plan for the city of Portland. And in some of the language of this document, in speaking of the diversity action plan from this strategic plan, the rationale listed is that in 1980, 7.8% of the city's employees were minorities. In 1990, the city's minority population was 8.3% of the city's employees. So in 10 years, not even a percentage of improvement was done. What I'll tell you that today is the percentage is approximately 17% of the city's staff are made up of people of color. So acknowledging a significant improvement in and hard work to change what the complexion and the picture of the city staff looks like. But that also said, it says the city needs to aggressively reach out to diverse populations in the community and include them in all city activities. All citizens must feel they are welcome to participate in their government. Objectives are: examine government policies to determine if they are consistent and fair to all groups, provide tools for government to evaluate their policies' impacts on all populations in Portland. A specific action item is to review city, county, regional, and state government policies, ordinances, and laws to determine if they are consistent and fair to all groups, and to work to revise these policies, ordinances, and laws as necessary. That was supposed to be accomplished by 1992. Another action item states that the need for expansion of anti-racism training, and that was supposed to be ongoing. So we are in the process of doing now what was supposed to be accomplished more than 20 years ago. So I can assure you that this group is hardworking at accomplishing these goals, and also suggest to you the reason why many of the city's employees of color and residents of the city of Portland who are of color are somewhat impatient, given that this was a task from 20 years ago. So at this point, I would like to turn this over to Ms. Afifa Ahmed Shafi to begin speaking on the strategic plan. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Good afternoon. My name is Afifa Ahmed Shafi. I work in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, where I support the city's Public Involvement Advisory Council, which, similar to the CEC, is a body created by a city council and represents multiple bureaus to improve the city's public involvement efforts. Today, however, I am pleased to be here as a member of the Citywide Equity Committee representing the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, and also as a member of this Citywide Equity Committee's Steering Committee, which I was elected to serve on along with my colleagues who will be presenting to you today. I want to thank each of you on Portland City Council, and particularly Commissioner Amanda Fritz, for your leadership on issues of equity. Your leadership on equity is reflective of the critical need for moving beyond the framework of diversity, which is a simple recognition and celebration of differences, to the framework of equity, which is the intentional examination of our policies, programs, and systems to see where historical legacies of racial discrimination and injustices still taint our current practices, often unintentionally. In doing this work, Portland joins a small but elite community of municipal governments that are seeking to do this important and intentional work. From the City of Seattle's Race and Social Justice Initiative, to the City of Minneapolis's recent resolution on employment equity, to our own neighbors, Multnomah County's Equity and Empowerment Lens, and King County's Equity Impact Review Tool. Even our own community partners in Portland, the Urban League of Portland led a coalition of community and government partners to create a racial equity strategy guide as a gift to the City of Portland. And this was created as a precursor and welcoming gift to the creation of the Office of Equity and Human Rights. All of these municipal governments are adopting racial equity lenses to examine how the decisions that they make are fairly benefiting or are unfairly disadvantaging the communities they serve based on race. By doing this work, we are working to set the trend for truly responsible governance that meets the needs of all Portlanders, despite the color of our skin. Chronic racial disparities are evidenced and documented in many of our community partners' reports, including the Coalitions of Communities of Color, State of Black Oregon, Making the Invisible Visible. These reports state that as soon as you step into Multnomah County as a person of color, all of your social and economic indicators drop for your success and well-being. I'm sure you'll join me in agreeing that this is a despairing situation that calls for bold, courageous, and swift action as a government. And Portland has already taken a few bold steps. For example, by adopting the Portland Plan Equity Framework, the creation of OEHR, Office of Equity and Human Rights, the formation of the Citywide Equity Committee as truly being the glue that will hold all of our separate bureaus together, coming together to share best practices, learn from one another, develop tools and strategies that will work for all of the city's bureaus based on each of our bureau's unique needs and missions, all for one common purpose, that all the communities that exist in the city of Portland are fairly benefiting from our services and that no one community is unfairly disadvantaged by the way that we do business. Let me give you a little background on how this committee came to formation. It is important to acknowledge the work of the Citywide Diversity Committee that preceded the Citywide Equity Committee, formerly under the Bureau of Human Resources. The establishment of the Citywide Diversity Committee around 2002 institutionalized the structure for bureaus to come together to share best practices on diversity. We have evolved and learned a lot over the past decade. One important lesson was that to be effective, we must be specific about the change we are hoping to accomplish. And now, under the Office of Equity and Human Rights Leadership, the Citywide Equity Committee can focus more specifically on root causes of the racial disparities experienced at the city. The ordinance passed in September established our formal placement in the Office of Equity and Human Rights. Once established by resolution, the Office of Equity and Human Rights conducted a citywide search and call for applications. City employees applied to serve on the Citywide Equity Committee. They were also interviewed by a panel of both staff, city staff, and community members. All bureaus are represented on the Citywide Equity Committee, and there was also an interim group that Dante referred to in between the Citywide Diversity Committee and the Citywide Equity Committee that represented several bureaus along with OEHR that worked to put into place the document we're bringing forth today, which is the strategic plan document as well as the bylaws document. So a lot of good legwork went into place before the first meeting of the Citywide Equity Committee, all for the intention of really starting off on the right foot and being as effective as possible. And the importance of the strategic plan that we're bringing forward to you today is, once again, all the bureaus working together in a strategic, coordinated manner so that we're not reinventing the wheel in any of our bureaus, that we're learning from one another and truly having the greatest power by working together. We know that together we are stronger, so that we are each coming together to the table to create citywide strategies informed by each of the bureau's unique needs, lessons, and perspectives. I will now turn it over to my colleague, Carolina Irahita Gonzalez, to go over the elements of the strategic plan with you. And in closing, as a public servant, I've been reminded over and over of our inherent responsibility to serve all of the communities of Portland fairly. So I'm very thankful for the opportunity to serve on the Citywide Equity Committee, and I'm very thankful for your leadership in establishing this committee and your support and the Office of Equity and Human Rights support. And I also want to acknowledge the office in general, but specifically also Dante James' leadership and also our staff coordinator, Muna Ido's tireless efforts that keeps this body orchestrated smoothly, because we couldn't do it without that support. Thank you. Carolina.
Hi, my name is Carolina Irahita Gonzalez, and I work with the Bureau of Transportation. And today I'm going to be speaking to you about the vision of the CEC, what we hope to accomplish, and what we've been up to since its initiation in early January. So first, the vision of the CEC is that the City of Portland conducts business with the public and provides services in a racially equitable manner. It also envisions a city where employees feel supported to champion racial equity in their own bureaus and throughout the city. To accomplish this vision, the Citywide Equity Committee will work in coordination with the Office of Equity and Human Rights to lead a citywide effort to shift internal city culture by promoting the recognition and removal of racially inequitable policies and practices. We have already begun this work so far. So for the past 5 months, the Citywide Equity Committee has been meeting biweekly to lay out a plan for tackling inequity within the City of Portland. As you can imagine, there's been a lot of robust conversations. All 26 CEC members adopted the strategic plan and agreed to the promotion that the focus would be promoting racial equity. All members have gone back to their bureaus and spoken with their directors and began to assess the state of equity within their own bureaus. Our initial goals are to build capacity of city staff to address racial equity. We will be beginning with our own citywide equity members by going through in dismantling racism training this year. Another goal is to elevate the visibility of the CEC and its work, not just here internally within the city of Portland, but also externally within among all of the various communities within the city of Portland. We will also be supporting bureaus in developing a racial equity plan with measurable goals, so that bureaus may have a place to start at when looking at racial equity. We greatly appreciate the 10 hours a month that have been allocated to each CEC member to work on equity. Yet we all agree that it is a challenge to do this work with an allocation of only 10 hours a month. Being on the CEC means meeting with directors, attending Bureau Equity or Diversity Committee meetings, serving as a liaison between the greater CEC and our bureaus. It also means building internal capacity, reviewing policy. There's a lot of work that we're doing, and we plan to do a lot more. So while we appreciate the 10 hours, it really is only a start. For all of us who are passionate about equity, equity is part of our work 100% of the time. As you can see, the CEC has a very busy year ahead. We are excited and ready to do this work, especially to do the work with a focus on racial equity. Some people will ask, why? Why are we going to focus on race? I would like to introduce my steering colleague, Kyle Diesner, who will speak to this piece.
Thank you, Mayor Hales and commissioners. As AFIFA noted, many of the recent studies have confirmed that communities of color in Multnomah County experience disparities in education attainment, income, housing, health outcomes, and are overrepresented in the criminal justice system. This is a result of historic discrimination and ongoing implicit racial bias that contributes to the inequitable distribution of resources through policies, programs, and practices at the City of Portland and other institutions. What makes this unique for Portland is that these disparities are worse than they were 30 years ago, and they're worse and more profound than they are in cities of a comparable size. These disparities negatively impact everyone and certainly have an impact on our local economy. To put it simply, policies developed to address the deepest disparities benefit all communities. Therefore, it is critical to address the root causes of these problems, most notably racial bias and institutional racism. Studies by groups like the Applied Research Center have shown that if you don't specifically target racial equity outcomes, communities of color will continue to be left behind. I think this goes back to our aversion as part of the white dominant majority to avoid talking about race and racism. I'd also like to note that the CEC is comprised of city employees who have experience, passion, and commitment to address racial equity specifically. This was at the core for the application, the essay questions we responded to, and the interview process. By design, this group is singularly focused to create institutional change against all odds. As Dante noted, we've been talking about this for more than 20 years, and clearly it's still an issue. A focused effort to address racial disparities allows us to make more significant progress than if we were to address disparities across multiple identity lines simultaneously. So we're digging in deep and very focused with this work, and we think that's critical to success. I believe you all agree in this data and about the disparities that have been presented and can see the logic in focusing on the outcomes that directly seek to address those disparities. Therefore, I will hope that you will adopt the CEC strategic plan as a roadmap to creating institutional change by doing business differently and with a new lens. And with that, I'm going to hand off to Alejandro Vidales to talk very briefly about the impact of our work going forward.
Hey, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Alejandro Vidales, and I work with Parks and Recreation. For its first year, the CEC will focus on the following goals and priorities. Support bureaus in developing racial equity plans with measurable goals that are tailored to each one of our bureaus elevate the visibility of the CEC and its work, review and analyze institutional policies, foster and promote relationships to support racial equity citywide, and elevate the effectiveness of the CEC. When I think about why I joined the CEC and the direct relationship to the work I have been a part of over the last 11 years out in the community, it always comes back to the personal experiences that you have had. Everyone has access to the opportunities necessary to satisfy their essential need, advance their well-being, and achieve their full potential. We have a shared fate as individuals within a community and as communities within a society. All communities need the ability to shape their own present and future. That resonates with me so much because I know what it's like not to have that. The people I grew up, colleagues, the communities I work with daily, don't know what that means because they accept the things that happen and move on. They don't stop working or living, no matter how hard or challenging things are. That's just life, or at least theirs. The importance of giving communities the space for culture, heritage, and family enrich our city, the means to a healthy community and an end that benefits us all. How can that not make our city better for everyone to move forward, feel accepted and valued for who they are and what they bring, and in that process claim their city as their own? We are at a crossroad, a moment where there's an opportunity, where there is an opportunity to be a part of something bigger than us. The CEC, since it started, we haven't stopped working. We provide the information, direction, and becoming the leaders that are pushing this work forward. But the reality is that this movement starts and ends with you all. This city is known for a lot of things, but the opportunity to bring a city together through your leadership and vision is going to create a legacy that will always be remembered. And even though for many of us, we don't know what equity feels like, we are here today to give you our support. We are here ready to work, and we're asking you to lead us.
Thank you.
Thank you. It will eventually.
There we go. Thank you.
It takes a village to operate our PA system.
Okay. There's a leader over there behind that desk who's helping out.
She has to, you know, do magic on a daily basis to keep this thing working.
Again, I just want to say thank you, and thank you to the steering committee for making this presentation and encourage your adoption of the strategic plan. And also say thank you for your leadership and support in this process. And very specifically and personally, I want to thank Commissioner Fritz for the last year of support, guidance, interactions, and exchanges that we've had. We've agreed, sometimes disagreed, but always in the best interest of making this city a better place for everybody. So I just truly want to thank her for her vision and guidance in that. I do want to thank Munido as the staff person for this committee, who's been working very, very hard to ensure that we are where we are today as well. And with that, I would invite any comments or questions.
Questions, comments.
I was wondering if somebody could give us a specific example of a policy or practice within a bureau that needs to be addressed, and if there have been any that have been addressed already and with some success.
I know at Parks and Recreation, we have a Native American Advisory Committee who we formalized, and they are setting up the policies around blessings, how we honor every time we have a new park or system. And I think just being involved in the education to our managers around what it means. It's not just doing something because it's on a paper, but if you understand where it comes from, then the way you interact, it creates that difference. So this group has made some of those changes in our bureau.
So everybody in the Parks Bureau understanding what those expectations would be so that we avoid some of the glitches we've had.
We're working on that. We're starting, yeah. Yes.
Anybody else have one that you'd like to share with us?
Great. So I know you're familiar, Commissioner Fritz, but the Office of Neighborhood Involvement has a diversity and civic leadership program, which is currently documenting its five-year report and successes and accomplishments. The program was created as a request from the community in response to Portland has had a 30-year relationship with the neighborhood system, and it's a program that the Office of Neighborhood Involvement has supported for those years. And the request was, you know, that program is important, but there's also other organizations where parts of the community that don't feel comfortable participating in the neighborhood system are participating. And so we have been giving grants to five community of color organizations
specifically around leadership development and capacity building for community members of color. And many of those community members are now serving on various city committees and are involved with our various bureaus as a result of that effort to increase equity in terms of who has a voice at the City of Portland.
And my final question, maybe you haven't gotten into this yet, but we have immigrant refugee communities who are not communities of color, the Russian-speaking communities in particular comes to mind. What kind of discussions have you had about the culturally specific things that needed to be addressed for people who might look like me but have a very different background from me?
I know that one of the biggest barriers with those communities interacting with us is just education. Mm-hmm. Are the governments or the countries that they come from, there's no relationship. And so I think, you know, to get into very specific of things about engagement really just doesn't set up to build that relationship. I think just giving them information and letting them guide us around what the points of contact entrance is for them gets us going there. So that's going to be different depending on which community is, whether it's the Russian or some of the African immigrant.
That is part of your work as well?
The education, yeah. Just like, what does that mean? 'Cause we, yeah.
And I also think that one of the other pieces that's helping address that is that the city, all the members on the Citywide Equity Committee are going back to the Bureau Diversity Committees and Equity Committees. And, you know, since their inception, they really have been focused on diversity and what that means. And so there's a lot of conversation about changing that to equity. And some of those conversations are hard and there's pushback. But all of our members, we come together and we're trying to figure out, like, what are the best ways to have those conversations. And I think those type of examples is, you know, a lot of times they get addressed in the Bureau Diversity or Equity Committees.
That's a great answer. And since we all are continuing to think about these things, for you, what's the difference between diversity and equity?
For me personally, diversity just means more like, I think at the city when we talk about diversity, it seems more like a celebration of difference. It can be kind of tokenizing at times. I think equity, there's an action piece oriented to that word, which means that we have to kind of see where different communities are at or where people are at and understand how we're engaging them or how we're not engaging them within the City of Portland, within our services, and within our work environments.
Thank you.
Great. Other questions for the team here?
So I was just curious, the up to 10 hours a month, how is that going to be? Is it going to be like a big chunk at a time, or do you meet like a couple hours every week or something like that? Do you know yet? Or
that's what they've been doing.
I guess I should be asking them. Okay.
Yeah. It's spread out throughout the month. So we have a monthly meeting of the whole CEC, and then we have subcommittee meetings that meet periodically to work on specific deliverables.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But in general, I mean, it's an ongoing conversation because it's not something that you just put in a box and it's in one place. It's in our work every day, so it's consistent. And so this helps direct the work in a very intentional way.
And I'm sorry, I came in a minute late. Are you the chairs of the committee, or are you officers
steering
of
committee.
The
steering
yes.
committee?
You're the steering committee.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So who runs the meetings?
We do in partnership with our staff support, Muna Idao, mm-hmm. who is right here.
Okay.
So
the steering committee sets the agenda. Mm-hmm. Somebody presides over the meeting.
We meet with Muna ahead of the large CEC meetings. We work with her to set the agenda. We also check in with Dante regularly. Collaboratively, we create the agenda. And then Muna is our overall facilitator for those meetings. And sometimes we're tasked with supporting pieces of the agenda. And then we also conduct an evaluation at the end of each meeting to get feedback from all the members. Is this working for you? Anything we should improve? And then we act upon that feedback.
And I have specifically asked each CEC member to keep track of their hours to ensure, well, just to give them a sense and to be able to give you a sense of what you're getting for your hours. And I haven't found anyone yet who's doing less than 10 and doesn't want more than 10 hours to be able to do this work because of the time that they are committing to doing this work.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
Sir.
Other questions?
Comments? Could you just outline as well, because the commissioner's offices are not involved in the CEC, that's correct?
Correct.
So, but there's also a Leaders Advisory Council. Is the quarterly bureau directors
Sure. There is a quarterly meeting that that I facilitate with each of the bureau directors and senior members of your staff to connect them to the work of the CEC and equity work in general, and discuss. Last time was discussion of budgetary issues and templates and also discussing how to improve the climate and the culture within their bureaus and understand what that is and assist them in how to do that. Many of the bureau directors have interacted with me or members of the committee on how do we ascertain how we can do better, not just for our internal staff, but also for our constituents and those who receive our services. I know Parks and Rec is doing a wonderful job in trying to determine who receives its services, and they've been really instrumental in trying to put forth a process by which they can determine that. Planning has done an excellent job in working with the comprehensive plan, and so those quarterly meetings with the bureau directors are pretty wide encompassing in terms of just city work and city services.
Do you have a name for that group?
It's the executive equity team.
Good. Other questions, comments for the committee? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Are there other committee members or others here that would like to speak?
I don't know.
It doesn't look like a shy group, but I just
want
to.
No, they're not. They're not. They're not.
Okay, Chris is not shy.
Chris?
Okay. Come on up.
Hello, everyone. I just want to thank you again for supporting us. And the time that we have to share with our bureau directors our concerns and our work from the committee, we have difficult conversations with our bureau directors. So it's not always easy to point out certain things as a person of color, how certain policies and procedures affect us. So I want to thank you for supporting us and also let you know that the conversations we have are not always easy. And for example, there's conversations about job panels on interviews that I've had with the bureau director. There's been conversations about outreach. How effective is our outreach, BDS's outreach to the wider public? Is it actually successful? Is it actually reaching its goal of hiring more people of color? And do we actually use the data from the percentages of people of color working in the bureau? And where are those people? Are they actually management positions or are they not? So there's a lot of different conversations happening where I'm pointing out things to the director and to other managers about certain things and saying, we need to look at this and say, is this equitable? So they are difficult conversations, but we are moving forward. I would hope that the bureau directors would, because we are having such an intense effort at doing the work we do, because the leadership is totally part of the equation, that they become part of the solution and they meet more often so that we can actually get more work done quicker and more effectively, because this is a team effort and we're having these conversations, and I, I would hope you would support them meeting with us more often or actually having us have more strength as far as our efforts go and the Bureau directors go, so that our work is not isolated, that it's more effective with their participation. So I would emphasize that you put that emphasis with those Bureau directors, that this is important work, because this work comes from the leadership down, and we are only as effective as our leadership is.
Point. Thank you, Chris. Thanks. Great. Anyone else?
No one else signed up.
Oh, sorry, you have some people signed
no,
up.
No one else.
No one signed up. Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So we'll need a motion to adopt this report.
Move to accept the report.
Second.
And a roll call on that motion, please.
Saltzman?
Well, it's good to see the committee formed, and seems like a very solid committee from the people I know and the faces I see in the audience. So I look forward to hearing more about the good work, good important work you're going to do for us here in the city. And appreciate it. Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
Well, thanks to the committee and all the hard work that's been done building up to this day with the report. Starting way back a year or so ago when Dante James arrived here and established the Office of Equity and Human Rights, the building of the team, the staff team in the Office of Equity and Human Rights, as well as working with the Bureau of Human Resources, Anna Kenwick and Kathleen Sadat, who formerly guided the Diversity Committee, agreeing that it should be housed within the Office of Equity and Human Rights. So I very much appreciate everybody's work on this, and Dora Perry in my office having looked after it as well. It's been very weird having been not being the commissioner in charge of the Office of Equity and Human Rights for the past 4 months. And I have to say that having this presentation gives me courage that the work is continuing. Chris's point that the work has to happen at the grassroots level, it does, and it also has to happen at the leadership level, as he said. So it's not an either or, it's both and every step in between. This is everybody's responsibility. We've made some progress over the last 20 years. It was good to hear the 17% number instead of the 8% number. But equity is more than numbers. It's about removing barriers, and it's about moving forward on a shared agenda. And sharing each other's knowledge and listening to each other and recognizing that nobody has all the answers. So thank you, Mayor, for this presentation, and I'm very pleased to vote aye.
Hales.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Fritz. And I want to both echo those comments and encourage this good work. It seems to me that you as a committee and as a group of leaders within our organization are trying to do this work in a very thoughtful and open way, and I appreciate that. And some of you know me well from previous years of working together, some of you don't, but my style is that I do like actually argument and discussion and even confrontation. And as Chris pointed out, you know, it has to be so that on these issues of equity and race and change, that it has to be possible for us to have these conversations and for no one to be exempt from them. And obviously, I think you have a council here, I know you do, that all five of us feel that we have both a responsibility to the direction and a responsibility to be challenged by our own staff and anyone else in the community that wants to say, here's a way we can do better. And that's exactly what this work is about. So I appreciate the good start. I appreciate the willingness of people throughout the city's bureaus to step up and participate, and look forward to working with you. Thank you very much. Great report. Good work. More ahead. Aye. And we are recessed until tomorrow. No, sorry.
One more item.
No, I'm getting ahead of myself.
One more item.
One more.
Item.
I was just so happy about that one. I thought that was the grand finale. Sorry, Shoshana.
Shoshana's the grand finale.
Shoshana's the grand finale.
Item 446, amend contract with Moore Isofano Goldsman Inc., P.C., to increase contract amount by an additional $409,704 to provide additional consultant services for redevelopment of the ADA Title II transition plan for the city.
Yeah, what's that?
Yeah.
Okay, folks. We're going to need to get back to order here, so take it outside. Thank you. Sorry, Shoshana. I wasn't trying to blow you off there. Just got excited.
It's only $400,000.
What? 400 here, 400 there. Okay. That works.
That's your PowerPoint, huh?
That's a low-tech PowerPoint. I like it.
Good afternoon. I believe that Dante, are you going to join us?
He's still here. Pull up another chair.
I'm so glad that I was here for that presentation, I must say. I appreciated it very much. So, good afternoon. I'm Shoshana Oppenheim with the Office of Management and Finance. I am the Title VI and ADA Program Manager for the City of Portland. I took that position in February, following after the terrific work of Danielle Brooks. So a lot of this work that we're going to talk about today is as a result of her important work. So we are here on an amendment for the contract for the transition plan for the City of Portland. To remind the council of the actions that preceded today's council item, in the 2009-2010 budget, the Office of Management and Finance was authorized to complete a study of all the deficiencies and barriers to access within the City of Portland's facilities. This is known as the transition plan, and basically outlines how the city will transition into compliance with the ADA. This important work identifies barriers for the disabled community, where they exist, and how we can plan for removal to ensure access. MIG, the contractor who's with me today, Heather Busick is here, was selected in a competitive process to perform the work in preparing the transition plan. Surveying the highest priority locations is currently underway and covered under the initial contract. The initial contract was for $219,000 and expires in December of this year. The additional services in this amendment are the remaining facilities that have been identified for completion or inclusion in the transition plan. You can see on the map, that's a list of all, or a locational map of all of the facilities that are covered in the transition plan. At the end of the project work, we will have a detailed summary of all of the barriers that exist in city facilities, including the parks, fire stations, city hall, any barriers that exist in a city-owned facility. I've provided you a handout which outlines where we are in the project and allows you to view what steps are next. So as you can see, we're about to receive the draft transition projects. I'm sorry, draft transition reports. We'll receive the reports for all of the building facilities in June. And in August, we'll receive all of the reports related to the parks facilities. There's a little delay due to the fact that it's easier to be in the parks in better weather. After we receive those reports, bureaus will review those for the Tier 1 facilities and prioritize the projects that need to be addressed first. The Tier 2 and Tier 3 facilities are all what's covered in the amendment. So we will have the final facility reports next spring with the final transition plan in October of 2014. By approving the contract amendment today, the council authorizes the work that was originally contemplated for the project and required by the ADA and budgeted in previous citywide budgets. With that, I have two members of the Commission on Disability here with me, as well as Director James. So let's start with Joe Vandeveer.
Okay. I'm Joe Vanderbeer, and I'm with the Commission on Disability, obviously. I'm just here to say that we fully support this project and the amendment that you're considering today. It's obvious that our commission would be very interested in the accessibility of our city facilities and having as comprehensive a baseline of data as we can get is critical to our advising you and to the city moving forward on that agenda. So,
sure. Commissioner Nicholas Johnson is also here.
Yes, so my name is Nicholas Johnson, Vice Chairman for the Commission on Disability. I have viewed and participated in a lot of the work done in this, and I see that it is crucial that we go forward in the progress of getting this done so that it will be accessible to all Portlanders that have disabilities, whether they be temporary or permanently, because all of us do fall under that category one time or another in our lives, and we definitely need to get from place to place, especially in our city government, if we're going to participate either in the employment or decision making or whether we're there to view an opening. But it is crucial that we progress in this area so that it's advantageous for all Portlanders to partake in the enjoyment of our beautiful city in government. So I definitely approve of the work, and I'd like to see it go forward as much as possible and as quickly as possible since it's already been approved in the budget. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'd like to invite Dante James to say some words.
Hello again, Dante James with the Office of Equity and Human Rights. The charge of the Office of Equity and Human Rights is twofold, to identify and remove barriers based on race and disability. And this particular aspect of what we are talking about here today is identifying where barriers exist, where inaccessibility exists. And so my office certainly appreciates and encourages the completion of this important work. If we are to ensure compliance, we need to know where we are out of compliance. And as required by the ADA and Title II, I don't think there's much question. We need to know the answers to those questions. And so, you know, in my considered opinion, I truly believe that the next great civil rights movement is going to be people with disability in the disability community. And so to ensure the city's safety, ensure that the city maintains its compliance and does not end up in any liability situation, I think this is a necessity that City Council approve this amendment. It was already contemplated, and we would just encourage the acceptance of this amendment. Thank you.
Are there any questions for myself, the contractor, or the panel?
What's the difference between a Tier 2? Give me an example of a Tier 2 facility and a Tier 3 facility.
So we actually have a list of the facilities.
This?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought these were all Tier 1.
Tier 1, Tier 2.
So Exhibit B.
Oh, okay.
These are the Tier 1 facilities that are in the first phase of the project. What you're being asked to approve today is Exhibit C. And this is a mix of Tier 1 through Tier 3 facilities.
So the Tier 1 facilities were identified by a stakeholder group with the contractor, and they are the most well-used and most open to the public facilities that the city has. Examples of that are City Hall, Portland Building, the 1900 Building, those buildings that are used every day by the public. Do you want to talk more about the prioritization to two and two?
With the prioritization process, each bureau was given a list of criteria that was developed by the team, and I actually have that with me today. And I can pass that up if you would
and
like.
And who are you?
Oh, sorry. I'm Heather Butzek. I'm with MIG. I'm part of the local office.
So everything you showed us here in Exhibit C is a Tier 2 or Tier 3 project?
Some of them are Tier 1, and those are primarily parks facilities. Under our original contract, there was a smaller scope of work, and these facilities came up as Tier 1, and it expanded the scope, but our contract did not cover surveying those sites.
So there's a column heading that says phase. Is that the same as tier?
We went through two different word choices through the planning process. And so with the changes in staff, the word tier switched to phase and back again.
What was that last part? I didn't know.
I think the easiest way to...
I mean, I'm looking at a list and it says phase one. Is that the same as... I see a lot of ones in front of park facilities. Is that the same as tier one?
Yes, that is the same as tier one.
And then I go on the next page and there's phase two. That's
correct.
That's the same as tier two.
That's correct.
Okay.
And one can be considered high priority, two medium priority, three a lower priority.
And the prioritization list was how the stakeholder committee ranked those projects were just distributed to you.
So when will we get the report on phase one?
For the buildings and structures, it'll be in June. And June 3rd is our due date.
For the draft.
For the draft. Mm-hmm. That will then be prioritized within the bureaus. It'll be reviewed at the bureau level with city staff. There'll be commissioner briefings at that time after the bureaus have had an opportunity to review the work. And then we'll move into that from draft to moving towards final. In the meantime, we'll be working on the balance of the facilities. I think that we're no longer, after this amendment is adopted, or if it is adopted, we will just have the balance of the facilities. There'll be no longer Tier 1 and Tier 2. It was a categorization that will no longer be necessary.
I appreciate the letter from the Commission on Disability, and thank you, Commissioner Vandeveer and Commissioner Johnson, for being here today. Your letter says that you've been monitoring it and you're satisfied with the work that's been done in the first phase?
Yes.
Right. And one of the first phase facilities is the Selwood Community Center, which we're considering moving to community ownership. I wonder if we could get the report on that particular facility earlier than June. Because if we're going to ask the community to take care of it, we should probably look at what the price would be to fix it up before we do that.
As far as the park facilities, our report for phase one, since their facilities are easier to examine in the summer, is at this point the end of August, but I can move that up on the schedule to early June.
This is a community center. It's a building, so it's not a needing to be outside thingy.
Well, the parks, so if you look at the top of the schedule for this right here, the Parks Bureau's facilities are on a slightly different timeline, and the Tier 1 facilities are due September 9th. But I can do the report earlier and go to the site earlier. That hasn't been on my survey schedule as of yet. So I can move that up in the schedule to meet your community meeting needs.
That would be helpful. Which ones have been done so far?
As far as the parks facilities?
As far as all the facilities.
All the facilities. All of the ones that you see on the phase one list under Exhibit B.
Yes.
Have been visited except for one of the parking garages at this point, and I am currently working on the database and the report writing right now.
Is that all of them except for the parks facilities?
There are parks facilities in Exhibit B. All of those facilities in Exhibit B will be included in the report, except for the parks ones will be presented with the parks report in September.
September.
Oh. I guess what I'm trying to assess here is, for the money that we've already expended, what's been done? Because we're authorizing the second phase, and I understand that we divided up the $600,000 contract into $200,000 and $400,000. What I don't want to get to is at the end of the second phase, well, we're not quite done yet, we need more money. So I want to try to assess how much of the work has already been done in the phase one.
So the money is all inclusive of everything in this packet.
So I think that what the commissioner is asking is what work have we completed, and on what timeline can she expect the deliverables?
Thank you.
So the evaluation and visiting of all of these facilities, the survey of all of the facilities in Exhibit B has been completed.
No, not for the parks facilities.
Park facilities.
All non-parks bureaus have been visited. The parks facilities have been visited at this point.
That's about half the work has been done already.
For parks, yes.
No, half the work of the whole of the phase one.
It's rather than some of the facilities in tier one are much more intensive, such as the Portland building, which is much larger than, let's say, the Mount Scott Community Center. So the comparing a line item to line item would be difficult just because there's a number of facilities in tier one. It doesn't compare to a line item of the facilities in the later phases.
But you're telling me that all of the ones on this first page will be done by August?
All of the non-parks facilities will be done by August. All of the parks facilities will be done, all of the parks will be done by the end of August. All of the non-parks will be done at the end of this month.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
And then what's the timeline for doing all the phase two and three?
That is also on this calendar. And for parks, tier two is in January, for non-parks, November, and for tier three, April for both.
So have you completed a draft facility report under tier one yet that's been reviewed by Shoshona or Bob Keita?
That will be coming in June. The draft facility report will be coming to the city in June.
June 3rd.
So we haven't seen, and those are going to have planning level cost estimates,
mm-hmm.
which is where does that fit in the hierarchy of construction ready go to bid documents?
Where does it go where? I'm sorry.
Where does a something called a planning level cost estimate fit in the hierarchy of, you know, you have a planning level cost estimate. Mm-hmm. At some point, you want to have a number that you have a reasonable idea that's going to be the actual construction bid to do the work. Where is that?
This contract does not involve creating actual schematics for each barrier removal. This is discussions with staff, which ones get prioritized. Can we move to the prioritization?
But in terms of cost estimates, it's a planning level cost estimate. So it's pretty
basic. It's basic. Pretty basic. Yeah, exactly. You wouldn't go to bid on the.
No, I wouldn't go to bid, but it's a facility specific planning level cost estimate that's based on something more than just.
So there is a list in your council agenda as part of our scope of work under. Under our scope of work, it lists the different items that we review under the 2010 ADA standards, and that is on page 2 of our scope of work.
Okay.
Right here, and it outlines all the different types of elements that we look at within a building. So one building will have a report on the exterior, the stairwells, the rooms, the restrooms, the elevators, different hazards that we find in the environment. And it's very detailed per item.
Okay.
And so then you get a lump sum per facility and then a lump sum per phase as well. And these are planning level estimates.
Okay.
But for each one, we do address the 2010 standard, and we identify exactly how the barrier exists within each facility.
Okay.
And remind me again why we're doing the contract extension now rather than at the end of phase one.
So in order to not have any additional delay, the team is mobilized now. If there was after the reports are in, there's a lag time for the team. So that while they'll be working on some of the parks facilities, there'll still be a lag time for the team. They can continue with all of the facilities and moving ahead with completion of the survey. The survey needs to be done regardless, and the amendment now allows us to continue the work.
Can I add to that, if I may?
Sure.
And also, in addition to that, I can handle the logistics of getting out and doing the surveys in a more efficient manner, less windshield time going back to the same neighborhoods. Ideally, we would go to one neighborhood, take care of all those facilities and getting the inspections done, and then move on instead of going back and circling the city repeatedly.
Makes sense.
Good. Other questions, discussion items? Great. Thank you. And I don't think we have no one else test.
We do. We have one person signed up, David Miller.
Miller is here to testify.